So, I think we should meet him before Saturday. That will probably go a long way to alleviate Carl's concerns and, well, mine too. Her gaze met mine. So that's the deal we're going to make. You want to see Ainsley and Ryder this weekend, then he needs to come over for dinner on Friday. Both of us will make sure we're home. Oh, my. Oh, my, my, my. Okay, she urged. I nodded and said, okay. Because what else was there to say? I had no idea if Ryder would even be okay with that, and now I was thinking I really shouldn't have told her about my Saturday plans. A beep radiated from the pocket of her sweats. Leaning to the side, she pulled out her pager. I'd only seen Carl and Rosa use them. It was weird, seeing doctors use what seemed like an obsolete piece of technology. She grabbed her cell out of her back pocket and called in. Dios, she murmured, rising immediately after she finished the quick call. Can we hit pause in our conversation? She asked, frowning. I hate to ask this, but I've got to go. I have a gunshot victim coming in, looks like a young kid. I nodded. It's okay. Rosa leaned over and kissed my forehead. She was out of the bedroom and out of the house in under 2 minutes. I hoped she had a successful surgery. Losing patients wasn't easy on her, and in this city, it happened far too often. I picked up my phone as I heard the front door close. I typed out the text that made me feel like I did right before I gave my speech earlier. Carl and Rosa would like to meet you Friday for dinner. There. There was no other way I could say it, so I hit send. Taking my bowl downstairs, I found hers on the kitchen counter. I washed both out and then placed them in the dishwasher. By the time I went back upstairs, there was a text from Ryder. Sounds cool. Let me know the time. Holy crap. Sounds cool? A smile raced across my face as I texted back a quick okay. He disappeared from the convo while I washed my face, and when I returned, the text he'd sent created a flutter deep in my chest. Looking forward to it. I wasn't quite sure about it. In the middle of the night, I heard Rosa come home. I crept to the top of the stairs and listened to Rosa and Carl talk about her patient. The kid was 13, shot twice, once in the chest and the other in the back. Rosa had been able to repair the damage to the chest, but the spine was done. She disappeared into the library, and I knew she'd stay there until morning with a bottle of wine. She didn't take losing patients well, and even though this one hadn't died, the outcome still affected her. 13. And this kid wasn't ever going to walk again. Chapter 20. Watching Ryder give his speech on Friday was like tuning into my favorite TV show. I had no idea what to expect, but I knew I was going to enjoy the view. He showed up to speech class at the last possible moment and then delivered his informative speech on different types of art like it was no big deal. He was smooth and almost a little careless, grinning on and off throughout it, but he appeared happy as he spoke. Ryder knew his art, and he was good at doing this, at standing in front of the class and effortlessly keeping everyone's attention. Well, almost everyone's. The whole time he spoke, Paige's fingers were flying across the screen of the cell phone she had hidden in her lap. They didn't speak in class that day, and I wondered if Paige knew he was coming over tonight. Tomorrow, I was going to find out. We just had to get past tonight. Ryder also wasn't bothered by the dinner he'd be having with Carl and Rosa. I, on the other hand, barely made it through the day, and I showered after returning from school just to burn off excess energy. I had no idea how tonight was going to go. But the house smelled wonderful. Rosa had put a pot roast in the slow cooker, and even though I was incredibly nervous, I wanted to shove the entire thing in my mouth. That would probably be a bad idea. Hair dried, I didn't put what I'd worn to school back on. I wasn't sure if that was weird or not, but I thought tonight... Tonight was special. 3 out of 4 of the most important people in my life were finally meeting. I pulled on a pair of jeans and the soft, cream, cap-sleeved sweater Ainsley had given me for my birthday last year. It was fitted at the chest and waist, flaring out slightly around the hips. I twisted to the side while I checked myself out in the mirror. Pressing my lips together, I smoothed my hands down my sides and over my hips. An unexpected thought hit me, flushing my cheeks. It wasn't necessarily a thought, more of an image, a feeling, of Ryder doing the same. His hands. A shiver curled lower in my stomach. So wrong, so very wrong. Ryder was just a friend. That was his place in my life. I turned from the mirror and dropped my hands. Taking a couple of deep breaths, I left the bedroom and went downstairs. I checked out the wall clock in the foyer, and my heart skipped. Ryder would be here soon. Rosa was in the kitchen, setting the table for four. For Ryder. Oh, gosh. She glanced up, smiling. Her dark hair was pulled back in a low ponytail. A timer went off. Can you grab the pot off the stove? Be careful, it's hot. Happy to have something to do, I grabbed an oven mitt out of the drawer and walked over to the stove to retrieve the pot of steaming veggies. Are you nervous? She asked, moving back to the cabinets. Smiling, I nodded. Don't be. She started pulling down cups. This is a very exciting moment for us all. It was. Once the glasses were on the table, it struck me that Ryder and we had never shared a dinner like this together. Not once. We'd eaten together, but it was usually on a floor or... I want to ask you something before Carl comes down here. She placed her hands on my shoulders. She smiled, but her dark eyes were serious. How do you feel about Ryder? My eyes widened. There were so many ways I could answer that, so many things I could say or think, but the first thing that popped in my mind was what I had felt when I stood in front of the mirror. Ah, that's what I thought. I looked up at her. You don't have to say anything. She placed a hand on my warm cheek. It's all right here. He has a girlfriend, I told her. Honey, that doesn't mean you don't end up feeling something for someone when you shouldn't. Oh, you're growing up. Her gaze lifted to the ceiling. And I am so not ready for this again. But I'm going to have to be, aren't I? Rosa's gaze searched mine. I'm going. What are you two doing? Carl crossed the living room toward us, having a special meeting without me. Just a little girl talk. She dropped her hand and curled her arm around my shoulders. I'd totally just dodged a bullet that had awkward written all over it. Don't you dare lift that lid. Carl had stopped at the counter, where the pot roast was cooling on a platter. He feigned innocence. I wouldn't dare. Uh-huh. We both know better, don't we, Mallory? I nodded. We totally knew better. The doorbell rang suddenly, and I jumped. My gaze searched out the time. It was 5 till the time Ryder was supposed to be here. Carl turned toward the entryway. I'll get it. I took off, squeezing past him. Sliding to a stop in front of the door, I all but threw it open without even looking to see who it was. But it was him. Ryder stood on our porch, and he had changed his clothes, too. Relief washed over me, immediately followed by a keen sense of awareness, because he looked hot. I shouldn't notice that about him, but I did. He was wearing a button-down gray dress shirt and dark jeans. My gaze got hung up on his hands. His full lips curved into a half-grin. Can I come in? I blinked. The grin spread into a smile. Mouse? Oh, yeah. I moved to the side. Yes. Ryder stepped in, his gaze drifting over me. I inhaled, catching the scent of cologne. Our gazes caught for a moment, and then he looked toward the living room. The centers of his cheeks were flushed a darker shade. Dinner smells amazing. It's pot roast. I was no longer hungry. I glanced at his mouth and quickly looked away. Rosa is... She's a great cook. Hyper aware of his presence, I started to lead him toward the kitchen. We walked through the living room, and Ryder stopped suddenly in front of the china cabinet. "What are these?" he asked. I turned, following his gaze. My eyes widened. He was staring at the soap carvings he must not have noticed the day he'd stopped over after school. He leaned in, tilting his head to the side as he studied a sleeping cat. "Were they bars of soap?" "Yeah," I whispered.
"Wow,"
he murmured, his gaze crawling over the heart and the sun I'd done a few years ago.
"Did Carl or Rosa do this?"
I shook my head. "No, I did them."
"What?"
He straightened and looked at me, surprise filling his expression.
"You did this? Why haven't you said anything?"
My cheeks were burning. "No one but Carl and Rosa know about it." He stared at me, then looked back into the cabinet.
"Mallory, that's pretty amazing."
I lifted a shoulder. "It's just soap."
"It's soap you carved into very recognizable things," he said. "I can't do that."
"But you can spray paint and draw and..."
"And I can't do this," Ryder repeated. "Those carvings take just the same amount of skill as spray painting does."
I was going to have to disagree with that. Uncomfortable with the attention, I gestured toward the kitchen. "You ready?" He watched me a moment longer, then nodded. Carl and Rosa waited at the kitchen table. This is Ryder," I said, twisting my hands together. "And this is Carl and Rosa." Rosa's brows lifted, and there was a slight widening of her eyes. Carl eyed Ryder from the scuffed toes of his boots to the top of his messy blackish-brown hair, and his brows slammed down. And that was the moment I knew this dinner was going to be all kinds of awkward. It started with the food, and then the questions. Both things were related. The moment we sat down, Carl began grilling Ryder. Caught off guard by the tactic, I only managed to cut into my slice of roast and eat a chunk of potato. Ryder also hadn't touched most of his food, probably because Carl was apparently interviewing him. When there was a break in the Spanish Inquisition, Ryder turned to me.
"Are you going to eat?"
I nodded as I speared a potato. Ryder watched until I actually ate the vegetable, and I resisted the urge to roll my eyes, only because I knew what drove him. Like the times at lunch, he always made sure I ate. It was hard to break the habit after years of sharing scraps and leftovers. I ate another potato, and Ryder spooned up chickpeas. Cutting into the pot roast, I glanced up and across the table. Carl and Rosa were staring at us. Knowing they probably didn't understand the exchange, I flushed.
"So you work at some kind of body shop?"
Carl cleared his throat. A piece of perfectly cooked pot roast dangled from his fork.
"Part-time?"
I closed my eyes.
"Yes, sir. At Razorback Garage, the owner calls me in to do custom paint jobs."
Ryder answered patiently. He'd been patient throughout the whole ordeal. He answered every question Carl posed. How long was he in a group home? What neighborhood did he live in? What subject in school was he most interested in? Which, not surprisingly, turned out to be art class. The questions kept coming and coming, so much so that Rosa didn't get a word in edgewise. I was so embarrassed and so incredibly disappointed.
"What do your foster parents do for a living?"
Carl asked. My fingers tightened around my fork as I breathed through my nose. This was getting out of hand. Ryder was unfazed.
"I only have one foster parent. Mrs. Luna's husband passed away before I came into the picture. She works at the phone company."
"And what do you plan to do when you graduate high school?"
Carl kept on firing.
"You'll age out of the system, and I assume you don't plan on staying with Mrs. Luna. Are you heading to college?" I currently don't have any plans to go to college, Ryder responded as he pushed his chickpeas across his plate. That costs a lot of money, and Mrs. Luna has already done so much for me. I couldn't expect her to pay for my college.
There are grants and scholarships, Carl reasoned as he cut into the slice of pot roast. I'm under the impression that you are very bright.
He is, I said, and he's also very talented. He has artwork displayed at a place in the city. Ryder grinned at me.
You do?
Rosa responded smoothly, at an art gallery. As Ryder answered the question, I prayed that Carl would stop with the third degree. Ryder looked over and asked for a second time,
You're not eating.
Half of my mouth-watering pot roast sat untouched. I was too frustrated to chew my food without spitting it onto the table. He nudged my arm and said in a low voice,
Eat.
Sighing, I picked up my fork and stabbed the meat.
Happy?
His dimple appeared in his cheek.
Thoroughly.
Carl's perpetual frown faded a bit, and he eased off at that point. Sort of. When he asked what we planned to do tomorrow, it was me who answered, but he kept directing the questions to Ryder. 30 minutes after dinner was finished, I kind of wanted to flip a table. It had been a very, very long time since I'd felt that way.
Mallory tells me you have a girlfriend,
Carl said, and I nearly choked as my eyes widened.
How does she feel about you coming to dinner tonight?
Rosa looked over at her husband, her brows raised. I opened my mouth to point out that his girlfriend really, seriously, wasn't any of his business, when Ryder shocked me.
I don't have a girlfriend, sir.
I jerked back in my seat as my head swung toward him.
What?
I mean, I did.
Ryder's cheeks pinked as his gaze met mine.
Paige and I. Well, we broke up.
My stomach dropped to my feet as I stared at him. 1,000 thoughts whirled. I couldn't have been more shocked. He hadn't mentioned anything. Then again, I hadn't asked about him and Paige since last week. But how could he not have mentioned that?
Well, this appears to be a surprise to everyone.
Carl's tone was flat. He continued to speak, and Ryder continued to answer his questions, but I wasn't paying attention as I stared at Ryder's profile. There had been signs, recently, that things weren't normal between them. They really hadn't been talking to each other. Paige hadn't sought me out. Hector had said that they'd gotten into it, and that was why Ryder wasn't in class Friday. He'd been tore up. Maybe he hadn't been drinking. Maybe he'd been torn up because they'd broken up. Maybe Paige was done with his friendship with me. Ryder had said before, if he had to choose between us... Oh, God. I really hoped it had nothing to do with our friendship. I didn't want to be that person who showed up and just screwed up other people's lives. I was still stunned when the table was cleared and Ryder was leaving.
Thank you for dinner,
he said to the Revises, polite as ever.
It was delicious.
Snapping out of my head, I rose with him. You need a ride? He shook his head as he pushed the seat in. It was lovely meeting you. Rosa rose, placing her napkin on the table.
Don't be a stranger, she said, leaning in to give Ryder a quick hug.
Carl nodded in his direction as we walked around the table. Ryder stopped, extending his hand while Carl stood.
Thank you again, sir.
He smiled tightly as he shook Ryder's hand. No words were exchanged, and I walked Ryder outside. Street lamps were on, casting buttery light on the smooth cement of the sidewalks.
You sure I can't give you a ride? I asked.
Nodding, he stopped on the steps and faced me. Our gazes connected, and that heady warmth was back.
I had a good time.
I raised a brow.
Really?
He laughed as he shoved his hands into the pockets of his jeans.
Yeah, they're pretty cool people.
Carl wasn't... He wasn't very friendly. He asked you so many questions and he... He wasn't very kind about it.
Anger surfaced, scratching at my skin. I'm sorry about that.
You don't need to apologize, Mouse.
I folded my arms across my waist, realizing the roles reversed a little tonight. Instead of him defending me, it was the other way around, and that was a strange feeling. I feel like I have to.
One shoulder rose. He's just protective of you, and I'm glad you've got people wanting to look out for you.
He paused.
Don't worry about me. It's all good.
Nothing about how Carl had acted screamed all good to me.
I'm not scared off easily, he said after a moment.
Shoving aside my anger with Carl, I asked what I'd been dying to know.
You and Paige really broke up?
Ryder nodded.
Yeah, last week, Thursday night.
I slowly shook my head. You never said anything.
It's not really something I wanted to talk about, he said, his gaze steady. Paige and I have been friends since I first moved in with Hector and Jaden. I'm not sure if I can still say that.
I'm sorry. And I meant that. Despite the feelings I had for him, the way I responded whenever he was near, I was still sorry he was hurting. He smiled slightly.
I am too. But being with her, well, it wasn't right. Not anymore.
Well, that answered who broke up with who. I glanced over my shoulder, wondering why it wasn't right anymore. I wanted to ask about what had broken them up, but couldn't exactly find the courage to speak those words.
You missed school last week because of it.
His brows knitted.
The breakup sucked, Mouse. I didn't want to hurt her, and I know I did. Hurting her was the last thing I wanted.
His shoulders rose with a deep breath.
We'll talk more about it tomorrow, okay?
Tomorrow.
Okay, I breathed.
He stilled as he watched me. Then his gaze slipped over my shoulder and he seemed to make up his mind about something, because the next second, he was coming back up the steps. He stopped just below me.
The soap carvings are pretty cool, and I hope to see more of them, he said.
And then he leaned in, kissing my cheek. My breath caught. Ryder pulled away, his gaze serious.
See you tomorrow, Mallory.
My cheek tingled as I watched him pivot on the step and walk down, out onto the sidewalk. He glanced over his shoulder, saw me, and smiled before continuing to walk. I stood there, until he disappeared from sight, allowed myself the moment to replay his parting words. And then I prepared myself. The shock of Paige and Ryder's breakup, along with Ryder's request to see more of the soap carvings, faded a bit, and I allowed the anger and frustration to resurface. Carl was leaning against the counter as Rosa was placing the last of the dishes into the dishwasher when I walked back in. For once in my life, I wasn't thinking about the thousand of different words I could speak. I knew exactly what I wanted to say. I stopped in front of the island. You weren't very nice to Ryder. Carl faced me, his expression blank.
I'm sorry.
You weren't very nice to Ryder, I repeated. You treated him like he was a suspect at a crime scene. Rose's lips parted. He straightened as his eyes widened.
Mallory,
Ryder doesn't live like we do, I said, eyes and throat burning. His foster mom isn't a doctor, and he doesn't think he can afford college. None of that makes him a bad person.
We didn't say he was a bad person.
Rosa stepped around Carl, expression earnest. And if we gave the impression, you did. I spoke directly to Carl, my voice shaking. You kept questioning him, and no matter how he answered, it wasn't enough. Wrinkles formed around his eyes.
If you want to talk about Ryder, let's talk about the fact that he doesn't have a girlfriend.
He did have one. They broke up.
Convenient, Carl murmured.
See?
I all but threw up my hands. You think that's convenient? As if I've lied about it, or Ryder has. I want him to be a part of my life, of our life. And I was so excited about tonight, about you all finally meeting him. My lower lip trembled. He saved my life many times, and I thought you would respect him for that.
Mallory, Carl said.
Turning around, I did something I'd never done before. I ignored Carl as I climbed the steps. I was done with the conversation. Chapter 21. The desk lamp in the library had been left on, casting the space in soft yellow light. It smelled faintly of peaches in the room. I drifted along the bookshelves, running my fingers over their spines. I stopped at the center bookcase, and my hand fell to my side. Somehow I'd found myself in our home library that morning, after a crappy night's sleep, following an even crappier dinner. I'd woken early and roamed the house while Carl and Rosa slept, restless and unable to go back to bed. Some of that had to do with seeing Ryder and Ainsley later. Some had to do with learning Ryder and Paige weren't together. Ainsley had offered up her usual brand of wisdom when I'd filter in on the dinner disaster. She said Carl's reaction was normal, that when she first brought Todd home, she was convinced her father was going to toss him out the front door. I wasn't quite so sure that was the case. Then she focused on the Paige and Ryder drama, convinced the breakup meant something for me. I couldn't even allow my head to go there because it didn't know what to do with all of that. I thought about the book that Ryder used to read to me when we were little, a story that always made me cry, but also filled me with hope that one day we'd be real too, that we'd be loved. Because that was how it felt growing up, like Ryder and I weren't real. No one thought about us or worried. We were forgotten, left behind to virtually fend for ourselves. Now I had two people who thought about me, who fended for me and who worried. I should be grateful for that, as Ryder had reminded me last night. But right now I just felt mad. Carl and Rosa knew all about Ryder, all about everything he'd done for me growing up. I'd thought that would have put Ryder in a good place with Carl, but he'd been skeptical and distrustful, judging. And I still couldn't believe I'd said what I said to Carl. Even now my pulse kicked up, and I sort of felt sick. I knew Carl was upset with me, most likely even mad, for saying what I said. I wanted to be perfect for him, for them. And I wasn't perfect last night. I'd avoided both of them last night, and that was the game plan for today. Sighing, I moved along the bookcases. The two center shelves were full of framed photos, starting with a happy-looking baby and moving all the way up to a beautiful, bright teenage girl with long dark hair and shining brown eyes. I stared at the pictures of Marquette, and I couldn't help but think how unfair it was that she was no longer here. And it wasn't fair that the kid Rosa worked on would never walk again. All the terrible things that Ryder witnessed, experienced, hadn't been fair. It wasn't fair that I'd... Closing my eyes, I shut the path of thoughts off. If I went there now in my head, I'd be a mess. There'd be things I didn't want to think about. When I reopened my eyes, Marquette stared back at me in a picture taken a few months before her death. She was at the beach, wearing a pretty black two-piece bikini that I doubted I'd ever have the confidence to pull off. Hot pink sunglasses shielded her eyes, and her smile was huge. White sand glimmered under her feet, and the ocean sparkled behind her. Marquette had a boyfriend, one she had started dating during her junior year. I didn't know his name, only that he'd existed from the bits and pieces of conversations I'd picked up over the years. She also had a lot of friends. Popular. Smart. In all of her pictures, she looked like someone who was nice. Someone like Kiera. I thought about the boy who would never walk again. What was his life like? It didn't matter, I quickly realized, if he was unkind and not well-liked, or if he was the most popular boy at school. It wasn't fair.
Stepping back from the pictures, I wondered something I'd thought about a million times, and it was wrong, such a horrible thing to consider. But I couldn't help it. If Marquette was still alive today, would I be where I was? Would Carl and Rosa still have fought to bring me into their home, given me all the opportunities that so many others had missed out on? I didn't know the answers to that, and they nagged at me. But I did know two things. Her life was cut short, and I was given a second chance. I continued to stare at her picture. I had a second chance when so many people only had one chance, and I couldn't let it be in vain. What had Santos said in speech class about trying and living? It was all about trying, and that was what I would do. I would try. "Oh, my God!" Ainsley squealed as I neared the bench she was sitting at. She popped up, adjusting her sunglasses as they started to slip down her nose. "You look freaking adorable!" Slowing, I glanced down at myself in relief. Picking out my outfit for this moment had been a pretty stressful endeavor. I'd ended up settling on black leggings, a white lacy cami, and a pale blue cardigan. I'd left my hair down and smoothed it out with Rosa's flat iron. I'd been amazed by the fact I hadn't fried my hair in the process, and I'd washed the makeup off my face about 3 times before settling on what was supposed to be a fresh look I'd learned from watching YouTube, which took about 30 minutes to pull off. Ainsley grabbed my hand and started pulling me toward the door of the cafe she'd picked out. "Okay, so you're about 5 minutes early, and he's going to be here any minute, and I want to freak out." I grinned. She wanted to freak out? I felt like I was seconds from hyperventilating. She led us into the restaurant. The place wasn't that busy, and we were seated immediately at a table big enough for 4. She sat across from me, leaving the seat next to me open, and my heart jumped. Pushing the sunglasses onto her head, she winced when she looked to our left, at the all-glass front. Bright sunlight poured into the restaurant. She shifted her chair so she wasn't sitting directly in the light. "Are your eyes still bothering you?" I asked. Rolling said eyes, she sighed. "Yeah, I don't know what's going on with them. The eye doctor where I went to get new glasses told Mom I needed to see some kind of specialist." Concern blossomed in the pit of my belly. "What for?" She raised a shoulder. "He saw something weird when he was looking at my eyes and thinks a retina specialist needs to take a look at them. He doesn't think it's a big deal." A specialist sounded like a big deal. "Does he think something is wrong?" She shook her head. "Not sure. He didn't really say much beyond that." "When is your appointment?" I asked, pausing when the waitress appeared and filled our 3 glasses with water. 2 weeks from now. Anyway, enough about me. Are you nervous?" she asked, wrapping her fingers around the menu. I nodded, even though I wasn't sure if Ainsley was telling me the whole truth about whatever was going on with her eyes. "Yes. You know what this is like, right?" She tugged the menu to her chest. "This is like a date." My stomach dropped all the way to the floor. I shook my head. "Yes, yes," she reiterated. "It's just like a date, like a practice date." "Practice dates? Were there such things?" I started to ask her, but she continued. "Okay, let's look at the evidence here. From the moment you two saw each other, he has made every attempt to reach out to you, right? He skipped class to have lunch with you. When you freaked out in class, he left to make sure you were okay, and then showed you that graffiti stuff. He helped you with your speech, and he actually came over to meet Carl and Rosa. That means he's interested." It also meant he could just want to be a part of my life. But before I could point that out, I saw him. Ryder was here. He turned sideways and scanned the restaurant. I stiffened. His gaze locked with mine and a slow grin appeared on his face. He didn't look like he had last night, more like he did every day at school. Worn jeans, a black Henley instead of a t-shirt, and beat-up sneakers. But goodness, I couldn't think. Okay, not true, I could think, but I was thinking things I really had no concept of.
I was thinking about those full, slightly curved lips and how they must feel in places other than my forehead or cheek. I was thinking about his hands and how strong they were, and the oddly pleasant calluses on his palms. I was thinking about a lot of things, things that now didn't feel so wrong, since he was actually single. Noticing my near-prone position, Ainsley looked over her shoulder. "Oh, my good God Almighty," she murmured. "That's him?" "Yes," I whispered. "That was so him." She whipped back around, her blue eyes wide. "Mallory! Wow!" I couldn't respond, because I was focused on Ryder. He walked through the center of the restaurant with a confidence that oozed from him. An older woman sitting with her husband looked up as he passed her table. She smiled, her gaze following him. And then he was at the table. I might have stopped breathing as he stepped around and pulled out the chair beside mine and sat. "Sorry," he said, looking at me. "I'm a few minutes late." "He was?" "Hector gave me a ride in," he continued. "He's around here somewhere. Didn't want to crash our lunch, though." Had Ryder invited him? If so, did that change the fact that Ainsley thought it was a practice date? Did those really exist? Did any of this matter? Ainsley jerked forward, smiling at Ryder. "I'm Ainsley. Hi." Ryder cocked his head to the side, grinning at her.
"I'm Ryder."
"I know," she said. "You are definitely Ryder." I narrowed my eyes at her. She ignored me. "I'm so glad to finally meet you. I've heard so much about you."
"Really?" He lifted his brows, glancing over at me. "What have you been telling her, Mouse?"
I opened my mouth, but there were no words. The right side of his lips kicked up. The dimple came out. "Oh, Lord." "Mallory has said you're an amazing guy," she said, and I wasn't quite sure I'd ever said that in those words. "And you two grew up together, best friends?"
"Yeah,"
he murmured, still looking at me with that damn grin.
"We were best friends."
Pausing, he finally looked over at Ainsley.
"But I think I've been replaced."
"You have," she quipped. "It's a good thing I like to share." He chuckled.
"I guess so."
My heart pounded fast, and I knew I needed to say something, anything. "Have you eaten here before?" That kind of sounded lame. Ryder shook his head, unfazed by my lameness.
"No." He glanced down at the menu, "but the burgers look good."
Suddenly, I thought about the firehouse. The small-time diner was more his style, laid back and well-worn. This place, with all the glass and shiny white tabletops, it was the kind of place Ainsley and I ate at all the time now, but I would have never set foot in before Carl and Rosa. Did Ryder feel out of place? Did he even care? Or was I just being stupid? Probably stupid. "Their hamburgers are awesome," Ainsley advised. "So is their hummus."
"Hummus?" Ryder tipped his head back and laughed. "Not my style. Give me meat."
"Have you tried hummus?" she asked. "On meat?"
My nose wrinkled. "No." He laughed again. "I've never tried that."
"You should," she replied. "You shouldn't," I said. When the waitress arrived, Ryder ordered a hamburger without hummus. I got the same and added a Coke. Ainsley went for the hummus appetizer that she would consume all by herself. Ryder and Ainsley fell into an easy conversation. She asked him about school. He asked her about homeschooling. And by the time we'd finished our lunch, they were chatting like they'd known each other for years. I chimed in, but stayed quiet, which wasn't a surprise. I relaxed, but was hyper-aware of every movement Ryder made, and every time he looked in my direction.
"Are you guys doing something after lunch?"
he asked, dropping his arm along the back of my seat.
"Movies or something?"
"Actually, I can't go to the movies. I have to... My parents have something for me to do this evening, so Mallory is completely free," Ainsley said in a rush. I stilled.
What? She never mentioned having to change the plans.
Ryder's gaze flicked between us.
But I thought you two were hanging out all day.
Nope, Ainsley replied quickly. Just for a few hours. She's all yours for the rest of the day, and word has it, her curfew is like 11 p.m.
My eyes widened. Oh, my God. What was happening? I looked at her, and she smiled innocently at me. A heads up would have been nice.
One side of his lips kicked up as he picked up his drink.
Sounds good to me.
He tapped his fingers off the back of my shoulder.
You want to head to the garage?
The low rumble of his voice sent my heart racing into overdrive. Ainsley was staring at her empty plate. Before I could formulate a response, a cell phone rang at our table. Ryder shifted, pulling his phone out of his pocket. He glanced down at it and stood.
Be right back.
The moment Ryder was out of earshot, Ainsley turned to me. Mal, he is hot. I flushed as I picked up my drink. Ryder was hot, with two extra T's. There was no questioning that. But it went beyond the physical hotness. Underneath all of that good stuff was a really, really good guy. A shiny heart.
You were not kidding when you described him.
Ainsley grinned as she sat back in the chair.
Are you going to go with them? I mean, you kind of have to, because I totally just threw you out there. But I threw you because you want to be thrown. You need to be thrown.
Blinking, I nearly dropped my glass as I looked at her.
But I'm hanging out with you all day. We had our hang, even if I couldn't convince you to try hummus. Now is your chance to hang with someone else, a very hot someone else.
My stomach twisted, the feeling not unpleasant and all too familiar.
But Rosa and Carl think you're with me, so as long as you get home by whenever, they'll never know. It's not like they're going to talk to my parents.
Her grin was sly, especially considering they're doing their own thing tonight. Date night or something? Her nose wrinkled.
So it's no problem.
I glanced up to where Ryder stood, and the twisting motion increased. My mind wheeled. I couldn't believe I was actually considering this. Yes, I'd left school without Rosa and Carl knowing, and Ryder had been over to the house without them knowing, but this would be different. It was like some kind of invisible line that I was stepping over. The Rivases thought I was with Ainsley, but I wouldn't be. I would be with Ryder. On a Saturday afternoon and maybe evening, the practice date felt like a real date. That did seem like a major step. If I got caught, they would say it was Ryder and that he was a bad influence, but in reality, he didn't know I wouldn't be allowed. Hell, I didn't even know if I wouldn't be allowed, but I sure as heck wasn't asking. I wasn't even sure if I was doing something wrong. And I wasn't going to ask, because that sounded like a really stupid question to ask. Ryder lowered his phone, slipping it into his pocket. Could I even do this? Go hang out with him? I hastily picked up my drink and took a huge gulp. Why was I freaking out about this? Ryder and I grew up together. Sure, there were years when we didn't see each other, but we were friends, and he'd just gotten out of a relationship. This wasn't a practice date. And I could do this.
You think I should go?
Ainsley's blue eyes were wide with excitement.
Yes! Oh my God, yes!
She smacked my arm. This is the perfect time for alone time. I frowned. But we have a lot of alone time. She stared at me a moment and then rolled her eyes.
This is a different kind of alone time, Mallory. This is Saturday alone time.
My brows rose. Shaking her head, she picked up her drink.
Trust me, it's different.
I was going to have to trust her with that.
You're interested in him, so just a heads up. I think he's interested in you, too. I mean, come on, why wouldn't he be? But guys are kind of dumb sometimes, so he's probably going to play it cool and act like he's not interested.
I opened my mouth.
That's what Todd did. He acted like he wasn't into me until we were alone, and then he made his move.
Would Ryder make a move? My heart started to swell with the possibilities of it, and then my stomach twisted again. Ainsley was practically rocking in her seat.
I know this is all new for you, but just take a couple of deep breaths and have fun. Maybe he'll do more than hold your hand.
Oh my God, this was too much. I should have never told her about Ryder holding my hand. I so needed an adult.
Look, she said, lowering her voice as she reached over, placing her hand over mine. Only go if you're comfortable with it, if it's something you want to do. If you don't, it's not a big deal. I just know you like him as more than a friend.
I can tell because of the way you look at... She paused, glancing over her shoulder.
Him. Holy hell, who is that?
Brows knitting, I followed her gaze and saw that Ryder wasn't alone anymore. Hector was standing with him at the entrance to the cafe. Concern rose. Their heads were low, and the hard set to Ryder's jaw said they weren't talking about something fun. I glanced out the front windows, expecting to see Jaden, but he wasn't out there. Come to think of it, I hadn't seen Jaden at school the last couple of days.
Do you know who that is? Ainsley asked.
Swallowing as I placed the glass down, I nodded. His name is Hector. He's Ryder's friend. A slow smile curled her lips.
He's yummy.
Just at that moment, Hector laughed at something Ryder must have said. The sound was deep, and it traveled, turning several heads in the cafe. Hector was yummy, no doubt about that. But my gaze strayed to Ryder. He smiled slightly, the dimple in his right cheek playing peekaboo. His lips moved, and Hector glanced over at our table. Surprise flickered over his face, and then his full lips kicked up when his gaze settled on Ainsley and stayed.
Me likey, she whispered. Does he have a girlfriend?
I shrugged, wondering if she still had a boyfriend. I wasn't sure if Hector had someone serious. I'd seen him with a couple of girls at school, but I didn't think he was dating any of them. Ryder and Hector made their way to our table. Ryder reclaimed his seat next to me, while Hector sat beside Ainsley.
Esa chica está bien caliente. Hector laughed as Ryder shook his head.
Ainsley stiffened across from me. She was pretty fluent in Spanish, and even though Hector was Puerto Rican, I had a feeling she was getting the general gist of whatever he was saying, and she was not happy about it.
Me gustaría llevarla a mi casa y comérmela.
Ainsley cocked her head to the side as she brushed her long blonde hair over her shoulder.
Gracias. Pero no hay ni una parte de mi que tú te vas a comer.
Hector's eyes widened. Ryder threw his head back and burst into laughter.
Oh, shit. Priceless.
What?
Ainsley blinked big eyes at the stunned Hector.
You think some white chick can't possibly understand another language, so you're going to sit in front of me and talk about me like I'm not here?
Her smile was brittle and fake.
Bitch, please.
Man.
Hector sat back, slowly shaking his head as he stared at her.
You're brutal.
Damn straight,
she replied, her eyes like chips of blue ice. Whatever yumminess she'd seen in Hector was completely out the window now.
And you're a malcriado.
Hector's eyes narrowed.
I really like your friend, Mouse.
Still chuckling, Ryder winked at me.
She basically called him a classless ass, and I agree.
Oh, dear. Ainsley arched a brow as she eyed Hector's worn shirt.
If the shoe fits.
Que carajo,
Hector muttered.
Nena, you don't know me.
She raised a shoulder.
And I don't want to.
Oh. Oh, wow. This was going downhill fast, even though Ryder looked like he wanted a bucket of popcorn. Ainsley twisted in her seat and faced me, her cheeks slightly flushed.
Are you going with Ryder?
She asked, voice low but still audible.
Where are you guys going?
Hector asked, his gaze still fastened on her. She ignored him, and my stomach was doing cartwheels again.
I was going to take her to the garage, Ryder said.
Hector's lip curled.
Sounds legit.
He smirked when Ryder lifted his hand and extended a long middle finger.
You're not going to Ramon's tonight. Big party.
Ryder's gaze met mine, and there was a hitch in my throat.
Not if Mallory's going to go with me to the garage.
You can bring her, he said, and then looked at Ainsley with a smirk.
I would invite you, Mommy, but it's probably not classy enough for you.
If you're involved, probably not, she replied dryly. But I'm not interested anyway, so whatever. I barely recognized that Hector and Ainsley started arguing at that point, most of it in Spanish. A party? As lame as it sounded, I'd never been to a party before. Nowhere even near one. My pulse fluttered in my neck, like an out-of-control hummingbird. Dropping my hands to my legs, I ran my palms over my thighs. What would I do there? I'd be clinging to Ryder like an octopus. I would be expected to talk, to mingle, to drink. The only time I'd ever tasted alcohol was when I was 9, and I'd ended up spitting it out. I could barely speak in front of multiple people right now, let alone hang out at a party. Ryder's gaze met mine, and I knew I must have looked panicked. I could practically feel the blood draining from my face.
Nah, I'm not really feeling up to a party tonight, he said, when there was a break in the two arguing.
You okay with that, Mallory?
Part of me knew he was saying that just for my sake, because I was sure a party had to be more fun than him trying to teach me how to spray paint. But there was no denying the sugary sweet relief buzzing through my veins. I was taking steps, baby steps, but going to the party felt like a huge jump off a cliff with no rope. Swallowing, I nodded. I'm okay with that.
Good,
he murmured, sitting back.
Then the garage it is.
Trying to play it cool, I lowered my gaze, but I couldn't stop the smile from tipping up the corners of my lips. It was definitely a goofy one, too big and out of control. But I was excited, nervous, but so much more excited. No matter what went down tonight would be a first. Chapter 22. Ryder was behind the wheel of my car for the drive to the Razorback garage. Made sense since he knew where to go and I was a bundle of nerves. For the first couple of moments, as we made our way out of the parking garage, we didn't talk. I took that time trying to come up with something to say. Did you like the cafe? I asked. I know it was different. Once those words were out of my mouth, I winced. Could I have come up with anything lamer? Like, how's the weather? Ah. He bit down on his lower lip as he glanced over at me.
It was cool. How was it different?
I was just thinking that before I would have never set foot in a place like that. I paused, wondering where I was going with this. We wouldn't have. He slid his hand over the wheel, easily navigating the turns.
So, what you're really asking is if I was comfortable in a place like that.
I opened my mouth, but the words got stuck again, as usual. Heat swept into my cheeks. That was what I was asking, wasn't it?
Mouse?
Shaking my head, I fiddled with the strap of my seatbelt. I didn't mean it like that. He was quiet as he pulled out in traffic.
You didn't.
I didn't know what to say.
Seems like a pretty obvious question, though. I mean, we don't have the same lives anymore, do we?
He asked. I peeked at him. He was staring straight ahead, one hand on the steering wheel and the other resting on his thigh. My natural reaction was just to stay quiet. If I did, I knew Ryder would move on to something else. But I put that out there. I had to own it. I couldn't stay quiet forever. Drawing in a shallow breath, I focused on the red truck in front of us. We don't, but I really don't think about it. That's why I didn't think twice about the cafe.
I'm as comfortable in a place like that as I am anywhere else,
he replied after a few moments, his voice level, but devoid of any emotion. Glancing over at him, I felt like a total tool. I've probably offended you. I'm sorry.
You didn't, he responded, squinting. Honestly.
I nodded as I pressed my lips together. There was so much that Ryder and I shared in the past, but sometimes it felt like there was a gulf between us. I could sit here and think about it, or I could try to forge a bridge over that gulf. Forcing my fingers to relax around the seatbelt, I dropped my hands to my lap.
In class yesterday, it sounded like you and Mr. Santos know each other.
He helped me out when I got busted tagging the school, he replied. Thought I told you that.
It seemed like more than that. I glanced at him. He put your artwork in a gallery.
Ryder didn't respond immediately.
He's kind of kept an eye on me since the tagging incident. He's like that, you know. Pays attention.
One shoulder rose.
He's always checked in, doesn't see what others do.
What do you mean?
His fingers tapped off the steering wheel.
He doesn't just see neighborhoods and addresses or any of that crap.
Pausing, he looked over at me as we hit a stoplight.
He's been on my ass about pursuing a future in art. Talk to me about looking into MICA.
He laughed, shaking his head.
He has lofty goals.
Maryland Institute College of Art was a well-known art school in the city, like one of the best. If Santos thinks you have what it takes to go there, why wouldn't you?
His brows flew up.
I'm pretty sure a semester there costs more than a brand new car.
What about financial aid?
He didn't respond, and I didn't drop it. Not for the same reasons Carl was hounding him the night before, but because Ryder had real talent.
If not MICA, there are cheaper colleges, ones easier to get into.
I know,
he replied, and that was all he said. I frowned as I studied him.
When we were younger, you talked about going to college. You did when I didn't.
His hand tightened on the steering wheel.
I was a kid then, Mouse.
So?
Things are different now.
Things are better now, I replied, aren't they?
He slowed down, turning onto a narrow side road.
Have you noticed that when you feel strongly about something, you don't take pauses?
I had noticed that, and part of me was thrilled he'd paid close enough attention to recognize it. But seriously, that wasn't what we were talking about.
Things are better, aren't they?
Yes, Mouse, he said with a sigh.
My eyes narrowed. When you say it like that, I'm not sure I believe you. I studied him, deciding I might as well ask more questions.
What happened between you and Paige?
Why the third degree?
He returned as he pulled into a parking spot in front of the garage.
Because I care, I blurted out.
He was right about the third degree. I was kind of doing the same thing Carl had done the night before, but at least I was coming from a good place.
Ryder's head swung toward me, and our eyes met.
I didn't regret spewing those words out, because it was the truth. I cared about him. I had always cared about him. Without looking away, he turned off the ignition and pulled the key out. His hand settled in his lap as he studied me.
It wasn't fair to Paige, he said. The relationship.
How so? I asked.
He stared at me a moment, and then one side of his lips curled up.
I don't even think we should have gotten together. We were better off as friends, and it...
His gaze slid to the gray, squat building.
I mean, I really did care about her. I do care about her. And maybe there was a part of me in the beginning that thought that it ran deeper, you know? The thing is, it doesn't run deep.
His shoulders rose with a deep breath.
I think I've known that for a while, and I think I convinced myself that it was the same for Paige.
I don't regret the relationship, but I regret that I waited to end it. I hurt her because of that, and man, that sucked. She is important to